Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters and a Twisted Mister or two, perhaps, hopefully. I am Pam Ray. With me tonight is Naomi, and we are both looking forward to delving into your poetry and hope everyone has been having a good week so far. And hello, Naomi. How's it going?
Hello, hello. Good, good, good. Happy to
good.
Be here tonight. We have colorful, colorful, awesome. We have colorful,
yeah.
Colorful, awesome poetry tonight. I was looking over the right. And, Yeah, I was looking over the rights and really awesome, awesome poetry tonight. So it'll be a great night.
Very cool. I'm definitely looking forward to it, hanging out with you, maybe some other cool poets, and, you know, just really getting into, as you said, the colorful poetry. So tell us about your topic and what brought it to your mind.
Well, I think I'm just bored and tired of this winter. You know, everything is white. Everything. You know, there's white all over. The sky is like a swollen white ball, you know, that's if you pick it with a pin or something, it's just going to like explode all over the place, all winter, all over the place. You know, I was just hungry for some color, you know, so yeah. So a contest with color and image. Pardon me?
Oh, I said, I completely get that.
Oh, yeah. Want spring. Want spring. Spring come, please. So do we have anybody on the line, Pam?
We do not yet. So, but,
okay.
Yeah, and, but we can go, we have a really full board tonight. So, you know, we can go ahead and move forward if you're ready to. And I'll let you know when we get somebody.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll put up the first write, which I really, really loved. So this one is Paint the Wind Blue, Rand, and it's just gorgeous. And if you want to go ahead and give that a read, Pam.
I would be happy to. Paint the Wind Blue by Becky Friend. And it goes like this. If I could see the wind, it would be a blend of spider silk and vellum and needle lace crinoline, a hologram suspended above sea and land, shiny and whisper thin, spinning shades of silver blue crystal, the colors of thistle, wind's downy sister. I can just picture her lilac lips of the wind whistling, her sky blue eyes glistening, platinum hair trailing her as she shifts and sashays, emulating Salome's dance of the seven veils. A breezy rendition set to heaven's music, healthy and stylish, breathy and stylish, like Billie Eilish singing lovely just above me. I'd find airbrushed streams, water-colored vapor, and dandelion daydreams, the fluttering wafts from a million hummingbird wings, if I could see the wind. End poem.
Yeah, isn't that just, like, absolutely gorgeous? The lines she has in here, like, all the imagery in that first stanza and all throughout, you know, just wonderful. A spider silk and vellum and needle lace crinoline, you know, and down to the, if I'd find airbrush streams, watercolored vapor, and dandelion daydreams, the fluttering wax from a million hummingbird wings, if I could see the wind. It's just the flow and the emotion in it, you know, it's just so, I just floated along. I mean, mesmerized by every line here. I just thought this was just fabulous. So thank you, Becky. And what did you think, Pam?
I thought this was just absolutely beautiful. I like how creative it is to start a poem with the idea of, you know, if I could see the wind. Because, you know, the interesting thing about the wind is the fact that you can't actually see it. You can only see its effects that it has.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the personification of the wind and the way, you know, that, you know, she creates the hair, the movement, the even the attitude and the personality. Like, The fact that she's emulating Salome's dance of the seven veils, and Salome being the one who beheaded some guy, I can't remember who, but it's in the Bible. John the Baptist, right? She brought the head of John. She danced for this king, and the king asked her, "What do you want?" And she said, "Bring me the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And that's what she got in return for her dance. So it's interesting to me how, you know, she starts out with something that's kind of almost beautiful and you know, graceful-like, like the needle lace crinoline, a hologram suspended above sea and land, and then goes into a seductress who asked for the head of a guy to be delivered on a platter. So I really thought that was a really nice transition to show the kind of idea of the versatility of the wind, how the wind can be something gentle or can be something fierce. I also really liked the imagery of how she said the fluttering wafts from a million hummingbird wings. Could you just imagine what that would feel like, a million hummingbird wings? This is just absolutely a stunning light all the way through and very well done.
Yeah. Now, I love how you pointed out Salome's dance, you know, coming from the Bible, and then she goes right into Belly Elish, you know, which is the new latest fashion singer of the young people of today. You know, I went and listened to that song "Lovely" because I just wanted to see what it was. You know, I know my granddaughter's really into Belly Elish. You know, it's like she's just great. But yeah, to see that the transition, you know, of all the things in this poem, like you said, it's just shows all the aspects and the different sides of wind so effectively. So yeah, just a stunning right. So I'll put up, is nobody on the lines yet?
Not yet.
Okay. So I'll put up their second poem, Colored Senseless by Liquid Forever. And I'll give this one a read. Thy liquid mind forever, colored senseless. Stomp your feet. Whirl and twirl. Hear the beat. Blood and sinew from animal meat we oft eat. But do we see it fit while violence and sorrows repeat? Heat me, treat me, excrete me. What stands? Wheat? Do we greet the celestine sky and praise the amber dawn? Do we spawn purple majesties as we sing along? Do we infer? Do we defer? Or do we slur and blur as curve any color that we feel doesn't belong in our singular song? Red sunrise, amarla, merlot blend, indigo, midnight stars land. Columbine and orchid aubergine, and in between all colors and nations of mixtures blend, extend. Purity, no congruency, no acerbity, colors hidden on scene. So drink your mocha chocolate and eat your rye bread. All colors turn senseless if defenseless off the reservation bread. End poem. And what did you think of this write, Pam?
Oh, I really like this one. First of all, wonderful read there. You know, she has a real gift for doing the mid-stanza, not mid-stanza, but, you know, a midline rhyme. Where it rhymes at the end, but you also get the words that rhyme in the middle. I really like the title, Colored Senseless. And I like how this takes on bigger social issues. Like, I feel like there's a part of this that, you know, looks at the idea of how we're hurting nature, how we're hurting animals, how we're selfish, and how oftentimes we treat people, like there are people, I shouldn't say we, but there are people out there who judge people by the color of their skin. And I feel within this, right, is a kind of depth of layer. As far as the imagery goes, it's great all the way through, but I'm especially drawn to that second to last stanza with Red Sunrise, a Merlot blend, Indigo Midnight Stars blend, Columbine and Orchid Arbian, in between all colors and nations of mixtures blend, extend. You know, the whole idea that the earth is made more magical and more beautiful by the beauty of blended and extended colors, and therefore a blended and extended family, really just, I think, it's really beautiful and hard-hitting and absolutely very well done.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, of course, that stanza that you recited was my favorite, but also the line that hit me and really made me think is, all colors turn senseless if defenseless. If you don't defend yourself, your color, I'm thinking of like the color, maybe the colors in nature, or the colors, like you said, in races and in the different skin colors, you know, all colors turn senseless, if defenseless. That's a great line there. Right from the beginning, you know, she takes up her stance there with, you know, just stomp your feet, whirl and twirl, hear the beat. She right into the mood there, that she listened to me, you know, listen to this, and, you know, just halts us and draws us in. You know, like a wild, savage cry out, you know, just so well composed, and of course, awesome use of color throughout, so well written. So bravo on this piece. So I'm going to put up the next one.
All right.
Okay. And if you can give this a read, Pam.
Absolutely. This is Mask of Colors by Lil Lulu, and it goes like this. Gray with shock, sudden surprises. Red with anger, temperature rises. Yellow powered, beats to death. Blue with cold, motionless breath. Black with rage, anger kills. White as a ghost, stiff and still. Green with envy, beloved lost. Pink with shame, all passions cost. End poem.
Yeah, I really like this little write. You know, how she used color to tell a story here. You know, the person is gray with shock, and then red with anger, and, you know, yellow coward who beats to death. And then blue with cold, it's the dead. And then black with rage, you know, anger kills. White as a ghost, green with envy, and pink with shame. With the progression of the poem, we feel a story that's being told on roll. And that's what I think is great. And, you know, and a story told in such simple little lines here. Well, I thought I caught a story anyway. And, I just thought it was just so creative and so well composed throughout. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. You know, this wonderful use of several different colors. First of all, I really like this rhyme pattern. You know, the rhyming couplets mm-hmm. where it's like every other line, you know, like rhymes, I thought was really just very well executed. And I like how this does, it does tell a story in a way because it brings us through a variety of emotions that a person goes through. And isn't it interesting how emotions are always connected with the color? And they've discovered that in like advertising and, you know, when people set up businesses, colors that are better to use. For instance, they discovered that red and yellow are more likely to induce hunger. And so that's why you see a lot of fast food places like McDonald's use red and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I like how this takes us through those small couplets with the rhyme, and it shows us how damaging some emotions can be, such as black with rage, anger kills, green with envy, beloved lost, you know. And so it's that whole idea that you have something beautiful, you have a wonderful relationship or wonderful friendships, and because you allow your emotions to overtake you, you lose those things. You can potentially lose those things. So I thought this was definitely very well done. And I have to say, I've never seen her name before, so it's very cool to always see new names and new poets, and I hope we get to see more from Lulu Lulu.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I hope she writes more because you know, very creative the way she went about this whole write. It's just, you see that color is, like you said, is beautiful, but also how it can be associated to, you know, things that are really not, you know, emotions that are really not beautiful. And, you know, she really brings it out in this write. And I love the title. The title just fits the whole write, Mask of Colors. You know, it just goes just beautifully with the whole write. Okay, so I'm going to put up the next write.
Okay, but just to let you know, we do have somebody on the line. So I'd like to say welcome to area code 667. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to?
This is Martha.
Hi,
Martha.
Hi.
Did you get to read the...
No, I just barely got on. I didn't even get to see it yet.
Okay, it's okay, Martha. Hey, we're so happy that you're here with us. Welcome. Just in time for a SoundCloud. So I'm going to put up Diane D's poem, if you can press on that SoundCloud, Pam.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to do that. All right. And here we go.
Words in the Whipping Cream by Diane D. Waltz into my whipped cream mind while I whittle my warped wisdoms into words, swirling like marmalade, masked madness, or mental magic. The eye of my mind, that one with a waffle-like carton containing bits of walking similes and metaphors, sees vacancy in the image above. Room to create and swallow those tittle-bits of whimsical meringue, singed with tips of caramel idiom that the artist weaves into stanza. Whishing around inside the wheel of my imagination are waffle words, like whirl, whistle, quip, whiz, which I whisk into floatable phrases. Whirling and whizzing are whisks of a wordsmith's want for wholeness, as the seamstress blends threads, dangling into unjustified participles. Then what evolves? An orchestrated row of musical letters and numbers, which the conductor symphoniously wheels into wag-worthy buzzwords. That the pen would take an imprint, wavy swirls of frothy sentences that roll up the reader's tongue like syrup, dripping into a wave pool of wonder. Thank you for waltzing with me in my whipped cream mind as we combine ingredients for wrangling out a rite that may end up a woo-winning poem. End poem.
I just thought this was so brilliantly creative, just so witty and clever, this wild journey into Diane's poetic mind. I mean, her use of metaphors are out of this world, but, you know, what caught me was the alliteration, you know, like the stanza, wishing around inside the wheel of my imagination are waffle words like whirl, whistle, whip, and whiz, which I whisk into floatable phrases. You know, the use of the W as alliteration throughout this poem is just amazing, you know. And she made, I don't know if those are made up words, but, you know, wheels into wag-worthy buzzwords. You know, I found that so creative and so witty. You know, there's just so many stanzas here that just are fantastic, you know. What did you think, Martha, of this write?
I thought it was very inviting. It's got such a nice flow to it, and it's creative, and it's just a wonderful write, very uplifting, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I agree. Great comment, Martha. And Pam?
Well, before I comment on Diane's poem, I'm going to bring area code 807 on, which I believe is Robbie. So here we go. Welcome, 807. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes, it is I.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Robbie.
Hello,
Robbie. Nice to hear you. Welcome, welcome. Did you get to hear the last poem?
Yeah, most of it, and I got to follow along to most of it with the post as well.
Mhm. And what did you think?
Well, as you had said, I enjoyed the alliteration as well. And she used alliteration with W, which is something I haven't actually heard much before. When you think about it, like most alliteration is with words, like letters like C, and you do like either a heart, a soft or hard C, or you use a lot of times letters that have a hard or soft sound. But in this case, she used a completely different letter, and just as I speak on it, it doesn't have a soft or a hard. It's just its own thing. So it was nice to hear a use of alliteration that is different than what I usually hear, and I think that especially the lot towards the end of the end of the lines here. Yeah, I can't talk today. the whipped cream mind. I really like that.
Yeah. She played on that. She took that picture and really, really played on it. She just went wild here. just so witty and so creative. Yeah, great observation there with the alliteration with the W's there, Robbie. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really thought she did a really nice job with this. I mean, she's going to think I'm just absolutely silly. I accidentally bumped over to a wrong poem, and I left a comment that was almost all W's, but on the wrong poem. Oh, shoot. Oh, dear. Well, I thought I was being all clever, only I didn't realize I had jumped over to the wrong poem. But, all right, well, I will have to delete that after I'm done commenting. But not only with the W alliteration, but the fact that she chose like this kind of playful and gentle imagery, like it's not easy, I think, to write to the color white. And the fact that she brought that in, she brought in the movement, the look of the picture, how it looks like, you know, like a flow of whipped cream or milk. And amazing imagery all the way through. I really like Room to Create and Swallow those, tittle bits of whimsical moraine. That must be a real word. It seems like a Dr. Seuss type word. But, yeah, I like that. Whirling and whizzing are whiffs of a wordsmith want for wholeness as a seamstress blends thread dangling into unjustified participles. Then what evolves an orchestrated row of musical letters and numbers. What I like here is that she talks about the process of creation. I just thought this was beautifully written and very well done. And I'm going to make sure my comment gets onto the right poem. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I love your observation there on like Dr. So, it is like a sophisticated Dr. Seuss right here. Yeah, it's true, you know, really. Really, really great, Diane. Like, I mean, all the way through, this is just, you know, it's just so wildly captivated me in every way. So just a brilliant write. So I have the next one up, and Robbie, if you can give that a read.
Okay. So this is Dark Thoughts, and there's a picture for anyone that can't see. There's a picture of a person with their head tilted back and smoke coming out of their mouth, laid back in complete darkness, midnight wrapped like a shawl around her perfect sculptured ebony shoulders. The light metallic sheen of a single bead of sweat like mercury slowly tracing her arching spine. A half-enjoyed cigarette swirls wreaths of mystique smoke, forming shadow puppets made from near-translucent mist before dissipating, mingling with the warm breath and heavily scented summer breeze, as once more she and the emptiness of uninhabited space become one.
Ah, great. Amazing, amazing read there, Robbie. Incubus really, went all out in this write, I find. He really took, you know, the colors of ebony and, you know, that light metallic sheen. I just love that, like, that line, the light metallic sheen of a single bead of sweat like mercury slowly tracing her arching spine. That line, one line there just stood out to me. But this is a one line amidst an amazing, amazing ride here. He just took that picture and, you know, just brought that character to life, I find. What did you think, Martha?
I liked it. I love the imagery and the word pictures it created. And the whole storyline was just great. It really held your interest.
Yeah, great observation there. I agree totally. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked this. It was a wonderful brevity. I like the line, the light metallic sheen of a single bead of sweat like mercury slowly tracing her arching spine. And I thought mercury was a wonderful choice of a word because of the idea of how it has that silvery sheen to it, but how it's also something that is poisonous, something deadly. And I thought that kind of worked well with the whole idea of the smoking, but also worked well with the idea of perhaps a woman who's a bit on the dangerous side. I also really like, as once more she and the emptiness of uninhabited space become one. But there's something very meditative about those lines that I appreciate. So it's just beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, there's it's kind of like a sultry seductiveness to this rite, I thought. What did you think, Robbie?
Well, there's a curious tension here in this poem of where things that are what you think of as very immaterial and insubstantial as being almost a substantive thing or a solid. It's one of those things that I can't really explain how it came out to me like that, or how it is that when I read it, that's the impression I got, that's the impression I got overall. And it kind of makes me want to play with the idea of Mercury too, because Mercury is, like you had said, Pam, it's something poisonous, very poisonous. And but also the way it travels, the way it flows. And I think that if you kind of incorporated that into another poem of color and kind of incorporated the idea of its movement, I think some of that is done here too. But if you really zeroed in on that, how it moves and related that to a color, that could be an interesting poem in and of itself. And I enjoy when a poem like this makes my mind go in, you know, a couple different directions at once, like focusing on the Mercury, focusing on the semi-transcendence, for lack of a better term, of the imagery and such. It really did go with the picture well, especially because the Mercury and the smoke kind of pair up in a very abstract, you know, semi-solid way. So yeah, the picture really paired up in a very unique way with the poem.
Yeah, that's a great observation there. And it's so true, you know, when a poet writes and it inspires you to think beyond and to, you know, alights our creative juices, that's always a sign of great poetry right there. So awesome observation. So I put up the next rite. Martha, if you want to give that one a read, please, my dear.
Okay, just a second. I'll head over there. Okay, Mermaid Sunrise by Sea Opal. Pisces maiden under silver moon caught Neptune stars in her hands while singing arias at midnight. Smooth abalone and conch shells, she felt the sea in all her senses on ivory pearlescent bones. Her turquoise eyes shimmered in the midst of an indigo night. Iris tinged in gold satin rings gazed fairy-like at her castle walls, rippled waves and rainbow halls. A purple thunder of whales under a blue-green waterfall, she daydreamed mermaid days, blonde seaweeds that streamed sunlight, aromas of lavender drifted at night. After the aqua waves ebbed, powder clouds floated above. Sun goddess wore her orange gown, gray dolphins leaped in the rose bay. Syrian mermaid sunrise today. Simple.
Wow, that was an awesome read there, Martha. What a captivating and extraordinary composition of rich beauty. Like, just wow, you know, she just captured that painting just so beautifully, you know. And she just her, I loved a purple thunder of whales under a blue-green waterfall. She daydreamed mermaid days. Blonde seaweed hair, strange sunlight, aromas of lavender drifted at night. Now, just the thought of the mermaid, she daydreamed mermaid days, daydreaming away her days there as a mermaid. You know, this is so beautifully written, and the rhythm is and the flow is so captivating too. And, you know, it just transported me to a magical undersea kingdom. That's what this life did, you know. I thought it was just awesome. And Robbie, your thoughts on this write?
Well, as I looked at the poem and then I looked at, or I contemplated on all the colors that were covered in it, it was nice to see a poem that had covered like kind of a spectrum, or I guess a palette actually would be a better word, a palette of an object or a creature that had many colors. And it was, you know, in this case with the mermaid, it was, you know, you look at that painting that's like a stained glass thing, and, you know, it's a fascinating writing exercise, and it's pleasant to hear that whole palette of that object, of that living thing being described, you know, and focusing on all the colors that it's composed of.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful observation there, Robbie. Yeah, I agree so heartily there, the range of color that's used in this poem. And Pam, what were your impressions on this write?
I thought this was absolutely delightful. You know, I really enjoy any write, any story that takes us into a land of fantasy. And I really like that she brings us into this mermaid imagery. I like the reference to Neptune stars in her hand. This has a beautiful flow to it. I really like a purple thunder of whales under blue-green waterfall. You know, to put the purple and the thunder together, I thought was just wonderfully creative. That she brought all these different, colors in, and the use of the word pearlescent I thought was beautiful. But I really like how she ends it with a sylvan mermaid. I thought sylvan was a very great choice for a word, you know, and just beautifully written all the way through and very well done.
Oh, I so agree. And Martha, you read that so beautifully. What did you think?
I loved it. I thought it was the images and the beautifulness of the words, and it just captured your interest and carried you right through it. It was really enjoyable.
Yeah, so true. It just took you to a mythical, magical land, eh? So wonderful, wonderfully written, and like Pam said, so just a delightful, magical right. Okay, so I have the next one up. If Pam, you want to give that a read for us?
I would be happy to. This is Frozen. Hold on, let me get it open and All right, Frozen Emotions by S.V. Masterson, and it goes like this. Frozen emotions protect me from the world. Blue-white shards of my own design separate your life from mine. I cannot be hurt if my existence is so entwined. Blazing desire of amber and gold will melt the ice and snow. Love takes prisoners even in the darkest of days. A love fire burns the desolation and loneliness away. Love lies dormant in such a place, broken like the ice on my first embrace. End poem.
Yeah, there's so much I like about this. Of course, I love the use of amber and gold in the poem. And, you know, that he talks really about frozen emotions. And I love that painting that he chose, you know, which is really great for this whole poem here. The rhythm and the flow was awesome also, you know, It's just a well-crafted poem all together there, all through. What did you think, Martha?
I thought it was wonderful. I love the representation of finding love that when you really never thought you ever could again. It's just a wonderful life. And I just love the message it had in it.
Yeah, that's a good observation there, Martha. Yeah, the message inside, too, just an awesome one. And Robbie, your impressions?
Well, with the mechanics of this poem, with it being about something frozen, and the stillness of this painting that it's paired with, it looks like action that has been stilled in the painting. So with that, and with the idea of it being frozen, it kind of reminded me of a frozen moment, like William Wordsworth talked about a spot in time. And this gave me that overall impression of a moment, and in this particular case, an emotional moment, frozen in time, kind of the impressions of it, frozen into the words of the poem. So it's like you're reading the poem and you're spending your time almost physically in that moment, color-wise, and like it's like you're almost in the painting, and you're looking around in the painting, seeing at how it reflects the emotions that were present at that moment.
Oh wow, yeah, that's a great observation there, Robbie. So true. And Pam, you're in your thoughts.
Well, I like how this becomes an observation on the battle between fire and ice, between love and the lack of accepting and not accepting love. And I really like how when he wrote this, he noticed, or they noticed, that there was a cast of gold within the picture, especially in the upper left-hand corner. And so there is that kind of idea of that little bit of love trying, that golden light, that burning desire, trying to break its way through the shards, through the ice. But, what I particularly like about this poem is that it puts up that idea that, if you're hurt too many times, or if you keep getting hurt, if you keep feeling betrayed by love, you will put up your emotional defenses. You will not let people see that emotional side of you. So I thought this was just a really wonderful write and very well done.
Yeah, the great observations there. It's so true. When you're hurt, so many times your pride gets in the way sometimes, and you hide those emotions. So I have the next write up. I'll give this a read. So pull up your blankets, light your fires, because we're going to Fireside Friendships by Garden Delights. Have you ever viewed your friends over ruby yellow bonfire flames, through rippling heat waves? Have you noticed how inky black the fire made the night sky seem? How crackling sounds carved the air into sharp angles? Do you remember how the crushed velvet of whispered words, or the soft thud of approaching footsteps, could take you by surprise? The flavor of friendships took on a woodsy feel, teased your nose with a toasty scent, your heartstrings with the rich aroma of trustworthy laughter and love. Never had s'mores tasted so delicious, chocolatey sweet, swimming in warm, gooey marshmallows. A chill encouraged knitted sweaters, colorful quilts, and huddling close to your honey as red glowing embers and time's flowing shadows drew their ageless mantle over everyone. End poem. Oh, I just so love this, right? It's just so formidable. It's like a warm wool sweater blanketing us and soothing us. I mean, every stanza is so wonderfully composed. She just surrounds us with beautiful, heartfelt memories that are so calming and comforting. You know, I can't say enough about this, right? It just drew me in, you know, and it brought out all those memories of those, you know, those times spent with family and friends around a fire. I just thought it was just such a beautiful, delightful write, you know. So just a cozy, warm write. What did you think, Robbie?
Well, as someone who does photography, I thought the photo at the top was just perfect because, well, you're talking about how, like, it's a cozy feeling in this poem, you know, and mm-hmm. it's just that, and there's that friendliness and friendship in there. And the soft focus of the photo just accentuates that to a T because it's that kind of that, it's hard to put into words, but that kind of soft focus to me kind of gives it that feeling of familiarity and, you know, softness, really, and friendship in that. So I liked that part of it. And then I thought of how fire can be, you know, either destructive or life-giving. And so it's interesting to see what direction a poem is going to go with fire when you hear fire in the poem. And it did well to show contrasts, the contrasting relationship of colors and such, because of how the fire is going against the black sky. And, you know, it talks about how it makes the sky look even darker because the fire is bright. And I've noticed that, especially with when I've been looking at colors I've been playing color matching games and that. And it's when you really start to dive into it, it's a trip because you look at one color and you put it next to another and you're like, wait a minute, that's not the color I thought it was at all. And, you know, it was like it's in a block that's like way over somewhere else and you see it's surrounded by other colors. And it makes it look like another color almost, and mm-hmm. just like, whoa, what a trip! But yeah, in the most basic form of that, the fire against the sky, you know, making it look darker is really adds to the ambiance. I love saying that word, the ambiance,
yeah.
And I love seeing it in that way, the ambiance of that poem.
That's the French in you coming out.
Hey, the Baudelaire.
Yeah, I agree with you. That picture there, it has a warm golden glow, you know, about it, you know, and the people around are like kind of like silhouetted there, and you know, like they kind of like forge together in a way there. In the blur. So yeah, I agree with you. That picture really complements the whole write. Martha, what are your impressions on the poem?
I love the way it just took you right to sitting around the bonfire eating s'mores with friends. And the imagery was beautiful, and I especially loved the ending.
Yeah. Yeah, the ending was really, I agree. The ending was really, you know, a very powerful ending there. And Pam?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. It is warm. It is cozy. I really liked Robbie's observation about how it's interesting to see how it will go with fire because it can be both, you know, life-giving and destructive. But I like how she mentions the warm, gooey marshmallows. The flavor of friendships took on a woodsy feel. That was probably my absolute favorite line throughout the whole poem. But it was just beautiful and cozy all the way through. And I thought it was very well done. And before you move on to the next poem, I'd like to mention that we have somebody else joining us. So
okay.
We have area code 360. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to?
Hi there. It's Celtic Queen.
Oh,
hi, Celtic
hello.
Queen.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you all?
Good. Great, great.
Hello, Celtic Queen. First time I've spoken with
hello.
You.
Hello. Yes, who are you?
Robbie's poetry. I go by Robbie's multimedia poetry, but all poetry wouldn't give me enough letters. So I just had to put in Robbie's poetry here.
Hello, Robbie.
Hello.
For everybody's information, Celtic Queen is my username. My name is Cynthia, if you want to call me that.
Ah.
So.
Well, hello, Cynthia.
I don't sign my name, Celtic Queen, to my checks or anything. So.
Yeah. Well, we're going to dive into something that you're going to really, really like, Robbie, because we're going into blue. So we have a sound cloud up by Eric's poem up by Eric Svensson, and we do have a sound cloud for that. So, Pam, whenever you're ready.
Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, Monochromatic Blues Tune, a Voice Box, calibrates vocal cords to speak bassoon boldly. Velvety blue clarinet ciphers ticker tape cerulean city skyline. Dowager dusk drapes her shawl on horns and piano strings. Flute light, firefly lights, pinprick deepening cobalt clouds. Bass drum sear, sizzle of summer heat griddle. Subterranean tunnels blow off steam. Dervish wool of dancing effigies, whimsome wisps lisp around lazily, heat hamstrung intention, like a dejected saxophone in a blue velvet case. Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, cigarette smoke ad libs, vagrant viper coil spiral, curl around pearlescent throats, daisy pines for her green light at the end of her key. Jazz age Madonna sports pure innocence, butterfly light flicks of Gauloise ash, thoroughbred filly, butterfly silly, frills, spills and sport. Blue eyeliner billows cloudy promises. Grounded like bulbous red beetroot, orange carrots reach upwards. Canary yellow sunflowers smile down. Beams admiration at green fields far and wide. Monochromatic blue sky pervades, accommodates jetliners' white wabi sabi sky stitching. Purple lotus flower pond ponder below, aspire to reach Everest's snow white peak. Blue by you, ever always, dear darling voice box, little boy blue poet calibrates instigates clear communication and poem.
This is just so, so rich, you know. He just brought the music to life here and color to life. You know, we just want to be, we're just so uplifted. We just want to cry out and applaud this great creative performance here. Just majestic, you know. I just love the orange carrot reach upward, canary yellow sunflower smile down. You know, I'm known as the yellow girl. I've always been known as the little yellow girl. Yellow was my favorite color growing up, and, you know, I don't know, everybody just nicknamed me the little yellow girl, maybe because of my blonde hair, but because I also liked yellow. And, and yellow and orange. I really loved the orange, too. You know, my father let me paint my bedroom when I was younger, and I painted it all orange. My parents went, oh, wow, you know, it was orange. But, you know, this piece, you know, it just grasps you. It is just so rich, so full of everything. And, Robbie, what did you think of this write?
Well, I like that he went with the jazzy feel, because if there's anything that matches in this world, it's blues and blue and jazz, you know, Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. I mean, oh, what a wonderful matchup with poetry. And with this poem, I want to, because he has the YouTube of Rhapsody in Blue at the bottom, I want to play that while I read this for myself at my own speed, because I felt that this is one poem that it would sound a little bit better because of its lyrical structure, to be read like a little faster. And and I like that. I like how he thematically he had monochromatic blues, so it's most of the poem blue and like the spectrum of blue and all the different shades they're in, like a cerulean cobalt. As soon as he said cerulean, I smiled, because I literally smiled, because that was one of the two blues that I focused on today. Like I said in chat, I focused today on cerulean and the midnight, it's called midnight blue, Prussian blue. But then, like you had mentioned, the canary yellow sunflowers and orange carrots, and then he mentions the green fields far and wide. So, kind of thematically, it's almost like the poetic painting. It's like it's all blue, and shades of blue, but then it has like these two or three spots of splash of different colors that, you know, give it a bit of a punch. And just thematically, I found that very interesting. You know, he's going through all these different shades of blue, and all of a sudden, in that one part in the poem, he's going with the yellows and distinctive shades of them, like not just orange, but carrot orange, canary yellow. And I'm just trying to remember wabi-sabi. Trying to remember what that term is. I'm going to have to look it up, because I know that I know what, and it probably has a significance in here. And the poet in me I need to know. So when I get off the phone, I'm gonna Google that.
Inquiring poet must know. We'll go to Pam, maybe she knows.
What's that?
He was wondering about wabi sabi, what that meant. I was wondering if you knew.
You know, I do know wasabi is a spicy condiment in with sushi, but I don't know if that's just a play on that word or something different. So yeah, it's still something I would have to look up too.
I just found it. I just Googled it. In traditional Japanese aesthetics, the worldview centered on the acceptance of transience and imperfection.
Okay.
I knew it had a significance.
Well, that's not deep or anything.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I really liked how he used the color blue throughout, not just with imagery, but also with references to music. I thought this was just absolutely amazing all the way through, but it was definitely that second stanza that grabbed my attention the most, because I thought it had such just clever and playful and delightful imagery. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Yes. And Celtic Queen, what did you think this was?
I am a rhymer, and this that's what I saw throughout here was his different rhyme. He's got alliteration all over the place, and it's just beautifully done. He also had a lot of internal rhyme, consonants, assonance, all kinds of different rhyme, and he did it so well. That's to be honest, that's mainly what I focused on through the reading was the different types of rhyme, and I just am so impressed. In my contest, he'd get extra points.
I love it. The great observations there, Celtic Queen. And Martha, your impressions on this poem?
I love the vividness of this and the word pictures, the things it brings to mind. And I love the words and phrases in this. Just a total delight.
Yeah, it is. It's just majestic, isn't it? It's just, it's just beautiful. Cynthia, Miss Celtic Queen,
yes.
Can I get you to read the next write?
Okay, I got to get back to the page.
Before we move on to the next poem,
yeah.
I want to let you know that Salwa has joined us. Welcome, Salwa.
Oh.
Glad you could join us.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I know.
Hi, Salwa.
Hi.
Did you get to listen to the last poem, Salwa?
Oh, I love Eric writing. He's just very have a unique way of writing, make you think deeply. I just really love his writing. Sometimes it takes me multiple times to grasp because it's so profound and the playing of words. But this one I see like the blue is someone who's really darling to him in his communication. There's so much into it, the summer heat and... but to give it justice, I have to read it one more time or two or three more times.
Yeah, it is very layered, like most Eric's writes are. They're just very, very deep and very rich. Okay, so Miss Cynthia, if you can grab the next poem I have up and give
is
that
it?
A read for us by Casey Day.
What is it? Tell
Firework.
Me again what the poem is.
Firework.
You're cutting out. Fireworks. Okay. Gotta find it. There it is. Hang on. Firework. I'm not a consolation prize, but I see the burning in your eyes. Can't let myself believe your lies, but your lips leave me hypnotized. Can't stop the pain. There's an aching in my veins, and I'm dying for a taste. So I set our world ablaze. You become electricity flowing through the best of me, burning through the night we're hotter than lightning. Forgetting to walk before we run, we burn hotter than the sun and die, just like gunfire. Into the sky, smoke rolling as we climb higher, bursting with heat of desire before we backfire. Leaving golden sparks in our wake, falling down to earth like snowflakes, and we both know what's to come, can never fly that close to the sun. End poem.
Wow, that was an awesome, awesome read there.
Thank
I
you.
Just was, I just thought this rite was so intense, just like fireworks, you know, the way she goes through this relationship here. And you know about relationships, you know, if they're really, really intense, well, often they crash. Oh, they go up in flames. But I was totally drawn into the emotion here and captivated, like I said, by the intensity here. Just a wonderfully composed piece. And Martha, what did you think of this of Stacey Dave's
right? I also thought it was very intense. I love the word pictures and the story. It was just a really nice poem for something like a firework. It was perfect.
Yeah, I just love her use of gunfire in the poem. We burn hotter than the sun and die just like gunfire. I just love the use there of gunfire. And Robbie, what did you think of Casey Day's write?
Conceptually, she matched the idea well of a very short love affair with the shortness of a firework. And also, I think this is one of those other poems that I'm going to need a notebook for tonight. I'm going to be like re-listening a little bit to the broadcast and just looking at the poems again, because I got like two or three other ideas of things I could do poetically with fireworks myself, you know. But she conceptually matched that very well, and I really like the way she paired up the idea of getting too close to the sun with fireworks. That's something that I wouldn't have thought of myself, and it would be interesting to see a poem from her that kind of extends that a little bit of matching the idea of flying too close to the sun with a firework, because I think that's a very unique mixing of concepts there.
Yeah, that's a great observation there, Robbie. An amazing comment tonight from everybody. And Salwa, your thoughts on the poem?
Oh, I love her writing, Casey, too. This is so beautiful. It's just the idea of the fireworks usually is used for happy moments, and you see it everywhere. It's so big. It's so marvelous. And this relation, there's so much sensuality here, but in a very classic way. Feelings. I don't know. I hear some stuff in the background. Sorry. Kind of distracting. And then forgetting to walk before we run. We burn hotter than the sun and die just like gunfire. Sometimes in relationships, there are so much emotion and attraction. Is it me? I hear this something in the background. I'm so confused.
Yeah, is there anybody that's doing something else while they're on the show? Because there is a lot of background noise.
Not me. Can I turn my television off?
Well, we don't actually need people to confess. We just need people that are not speaking or reading at the time to make sure to please mute yourselves. So thank you, everyone. Appreciate you all.
Thank you. Okay. Forgetting to walk before we run, we burn hotter than the sun dies just like on fire. Sometimes in relationship, like there is this, when there is so much attraction, it's just like it happens like an explosion. I think that's what I see here. We instead of taking it slowly, that's why they be before the backfire bursting. So that's what I see. Beautiful and very classy.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. So true. Such a great observation there, Salwa. Pam, what did you think of this write?
Absolutely a beautiful take on the prompt. I like how she used the fireworks as a representation for that very emotive and just heated, physically heated relationship that can end up hurting in the end. So beautifully written and very well done.
And Miss Cynthia?
Well, as I was reading it, I was trying to decide, is she personifying the fireworks or is she talking about the relationship? And then I got to that last stanza. I love that last stanza. You know, leaving golden sparks in our wake. Picture those kinds of fireworks that just kind of drape down and fall down slowly, you know, the little droplets of fire. That's what I'm seeing as I read this, falling down to the earth like snowflakes, and we both know what's to come. Can never fly that close to the sun. I just love that stanza. I thought it was wonderful, and it summed everything up beautifully.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Yeah, me too. I was drawn to those last lines there. She just finished with a bang there. Martha, did I ask you? I don't remember. Yes, you did? I did? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, Salwa, can I get you to read the next write I have up by Scott Sharp?
I'll be honored. In the Dark of the Night by F. Sharp, to deep shades and tones of brown, a voice by the earth, the baritone blending with the tenors of the wind, like chimes hanging on the front porch, where neighbors sit and chat a while under the leaves of the green, yellow and gold distance, at feast with the eyes, a song for the heart, where the misbeat of a heart or drum is understandable, and the clouds dip so low, we breathe them in before the rain, and cry them out in disappointment at days and the song. Sorry, my throat is itchy.
Oh, what a wonderful read there. So, and you know, the tone of your voice matched this poem so well, I thought. You know, the yellow and gold aspen, a feast for the eyes, a song for the heart, where a missed beat of a heart or a drum is understandable, and the clouds dip so low, we breathe them in before the rain and cry them out of disappointment at day's end. Oh, wow. You know, what awesome, wonderfully creative lines, just so deep and rich throughout this poem. Robbie, what did you think of this write?
Well, I'll comment on this and then we'll have to skip out. But like it said it's a poem about, like it says in the dark of the night, but it was the earth that felt like it was being personified, deep shades and tones mm-hmm. of brown, voiced by the earth. But it was nice to have that personification through those colors, but under the kind of the architecture poetically of the night. So it's kind of nice to hear that personification, but still in a different atmosphere, so to speak. And there was a other personification that was here that gave it some more life as well, aside from the colors, like a song for the heart where a missed beat of a heart or a drum is understandable. And the thing is that the earth, more than almost anything else, you know, you relate that to a heartbeat, especially to a rhythmic heartbeat like a drum. So that's what I got from that. And so I'm going to be taking off now, but I do really want to thank you for your show. Like I was saying at the beginning, I've been focusing on colors a lot over the last couple of weeks. And while I've been listening and commenting, I've had this one YouTuber who has like these videos that just they focus on different colors, eh? So I was watching a red one and a blue one while I was talking to you guys, and I've just been having a blast. So it's been quite pleasurable to be doing this tonight.
Yeah, well, we're so happy to have you, Robbie, and phone in again. because, you know, I really enjoy your awesome comments and, you know, your presence. So don't be shy.
I've never been known for being shy.
Good. That's good. And have a good night. And hang
good night,
out
Robbie.
On the board with us.
Good night.
Bye. And Martha, what did you think of this write?
Well, it reminded me of a symphony of nature with the lift and the flow of the music, and then it comes down to an ending. I thought it was really beautiful.
Yeah, it was rich and beautiful. And Cynthia, your impression?
Well, I have never liked the color brown, but after reading this, I have a whole new appreciation. Brown by the earth, a baritone blending with the tenors of the wind-like chimes. That's just gorgeous. That's just gorgeous. And it makes brown look so much better to me. So she's done a magnificent job. It is a she, isn't it? Is it a woman that wrote it?
He.
Well, he did a great job, too. I just really like he has made a symphony out of the colors. I mean, he starts with the baritone and the tenors, and he comes down for a drum, and it's just really, fours are just beautiful. He's done a great job. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, I so agree. And Salwa, you read that so beautifully. What were your thoughts?
Oh, I love this poem. Being a nature lover, I really love that. I sit outside myself and just watch the sky, enjoy the moment and the breeze. This is just not about colors, like Rob said earlier. He brought the beauty of the colors of the night, sitting outside with neighbor, enjoying the moment, and becomes a song to the heart. When the beauty of the nature is like has its own symphony, the sound, when you sit outside at night, you're going to hear it, all the little crickets and nature, just beautifully, he really brought it to life. And then we breathe them in before the rain and cry them out in disappointment at day's end. So beautiful that you don't want this moment to end. I agree with him, just really amazing. I love this poem very much.
Yes, I agree. And Pam, your impressions?
Yeah, this is just wonderful. I love how this poem flows. I like that he shows us that brown isn't just one bland color, but rather, as Cynthia said, a baritone, not a baritone, but a symphony of color. This is so musical and so beautiful and just absolutely very well done.
Yeah. Okay, I have Martha. I have your write up. So we'll play that SoundCloud.
All right, let me move you on over there and push play. So first of all, I'm going to bring Martha back on because she dropped. So welcome back, Martha. And now we're going to go ahead and play your poem. Here we go.
The Bright Yellow Sun by Martha Gettle. In my world I'm moving on. In my life shines a bright yellow sun. The sky is as pretty as can be. And it's a brand new shiny world for me. I'm seeing things like I never saw before. And my heart is not hurting so much anymore. I got the bright yellow sun shining in my eyes, and I have no more reason for me to cry. That bright yellow sun is shining in my eyes, and I have a new love on my mind.
My life is as bright as the sun, and my heart is moving on. And that bright yellow sunshine is speaking to me and whispers all the future possibilities. And my life is like a ray of sun, and I have every reason to go on. That bright yellow sun is shining in my eyes, and I have a new love on my mind. My life is as bright as the sun, and my heart is moving on. I once thought I was always crying. I couldn't see the sun in the sky. But now that love grows in my heart, inside I feel the healing start.
I just love how you took the metaphor of the sun, Martha, and, you know, for being that new love. I thought this rite was filled with joy, just cheerful as a lovely sunny day. I just enjoyed it so much. And Salwa, you, what did you think of Martha's song?
I can't help it. She just has a talent of putting her emotion so beautifully. I mean, every time you amaze us with something new. It reminds me of the Beatles song, Here Comes the Sun. Here comes the sun. So happy. And such a happy song. And the sun and the heat and the warm and love. You don't need to cry because there's something new in your life. And in love is like a new sunshine, absolutely. So congratulations. Really love you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, that song. I think by the Beatles, right?
Yeah.
And Cynthia, what did you think of the song?
The song was great, and I commend her for doing that. I think the first stanza opens up everything and wraps it up too. The rest of the poem goes into detail, but this one just says her new attitude. In my world, I'm moving on, and my life shines a bright yellow sun. The sky's as pretty as can be, and it's a brand new shiny world for me. What a fabulous attitude. And that just sets the tone for the rest of the poem. I mean, the details are following, but that one does it for me. I really like that stanza.
That's awesome. Awesome comment there, Cynthia. I really like that comment. And Pam?
I just really enjoyed this all the way through. Wonderful rite here, Martha. I like that you went with the color yellow, which is so cheerful, and that this is a rite all about healing and moving on and how good sunshine makes us feel and how good true love makes us feel, and a future of possibilities. I really like, and that bright yellow sign is speaking to me. It whispers all the future possibilities, and my life is like a ray of sun, and I have every reason to go. So just wonderful right all the way through, and very well done.
Thank you.
And Celtic Queen, Cynthia, I have your write up. So if you want to go ahead and give that a read for
okay.
us.
Lessons in Fruit. I looked at my class of high school students, bored as bored could be, until I brought in a bowl of fruit and asked them what they see. They named the fruits one by one, apple, grape, pear, and peach. Is that all? I asked. Isn't there more? And I passed the fruit one to each. What else do you see when you look at this? Justin held an apple, crisp and red. He ran his fingers around the apple, then thought for a moment and said, red denotes action, fast and concise, even crisp, one might say. I gave a pear to straight A John and said, John, take her away. It's shaped like my mother, or that's what she'd say. I couldn't believe my ears. That's all. And he turned away. Describe grapes, I said to Angela, beyond their purple and round. They live together peacefully. You can eat one without a sound. They come in different colors, but know that they're all still grapes. Think they're smart as fruits go and have such sexy shapes. The classroom laughed at her remark as I approached bashful Kyle. I gave him a peach, my favorite fruit, and he looked at me with a smile. He sniffed its cool, refreshing scent, then rubbed it against his chin. It smells like spring's early advent, and it's softer than a baby's skin. Well done, class. I'm quite impressed with the insights you've shown today. Now look for the aspects of everything. Plus, you'll never see fruit the same way. End poem.
What a clever, beautiful way to awaken emotion, metaphors, and imagery in young minds. What an awesome, awesome read. Just read that so wonderfully. It's both, it has everything in here, you know, it's just so enticing and enthralling. And, it has humor in it, and all the recipe just to captivate, the listener and the reader here. Just an awesome, awesome storytelling all the way through. And Saul, I heard you chuckling.
I'm sorry, I couldn't stop. I'm really curious, Cynthia. Was it really like a student class or just your invention? I love it. I mean, you'd be a great teacher. I'm sure they love you. It's amazing.
I'm not really a teacher, and if I were, it would not be high school. No.
You got me, because I teach, and that's why, I mean, and know me too, so I thought you are another. That's fabulous. I love how you sometimes little things can mean more than this. It could be fruit, it could be anything. It's the way how we look at it and how we see life. That's what I see here. You can see life in a happy way and bring you to beautiful memories. I mean, the shape of my mother, I could not stop laughing.
I don't know where that came from, honestly. just sort of made its way onto the paper.
So creative, so humorous, so clever. I really loved it. I mean, I thank you for the laughter and for the fun. It's amazing.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
And Martha, what did you think?
I think this is a delightful poem about high school students and fruit and the different aspects of it, and I love the rhyme. I'm a rhymer myself, and I really think this is a great rhyme as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so true. The rhyme and the flow of this added to the I think the captivating aspect of the whole poem. That's so true, and an awesome observation there, Martha. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like this. It was a clever story, so well done that I actually honestly would have thought you were a teacher too. And it was a true story.
I was a worker with first graders.
Okay.
I was with first graders.
Okay. Oh, very cool. Very cool. But, yeah, I like how the teacher in this, right, asks them to look at more than the color, more than the shape. It reminds me of, I read in a magazine, an art magazine, an article about how they were training cops and detectives to notice more in a scene by taking a class where they had to study paintings and speak more than the obvious, like really look into the painting. So I thought of that, and then I thought of back when I was in junior high and we had an art teacher who told us to look out the window, and it was winter time, and he said, what other colors do you see besides white? And immediately one of the boys typed up and said, "I see yellow." And the teacher put it like,
"Oh,
yeah,
no.
That's what a dog sees."
Yes, yes.
But I just think this is really wonderful. And each character, based on their response, has their own personality. So just beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's true. We do see the personality of each student shine through with the way he responds there. It's a great observation there, Pam. Saul, I have your write-up. You want to go and give that a read?
I was actually commenting on Cynthia. So give me 1 second. I still have to do Martha, too. Okay. Where is it? Mine, I'm sorry, it's a little bit darker than you, than everyone else. Black, Le Noir. Do you want me, I forgot to ask last time, do you want me, do you have time to read it both, or do you want me to read it only in English?
You go ahead.
Okay. Black, Le Noir. Le Noir, un lieu non loin du seuil de mon inconscient. C'est qu'un étrange rappel éveille tout ce que je veux. Oublier les pleurs de ma peur me reviennent. Et comme j'habite seule, il m'épuise. Mon âme a appris pour saisir. Il faut balayer ailleurs ma peur et mes pleurs. Comme des feuilles mortes dans un autre coin de ma mémoire. Pour qu'avec mes yeux et avec mon sourire sauveur, je me réfugie dans une nouvelle aube. Blackness, a place not far from threshold of my unconscious mind. As soon as strange reminder awakens, all I want to forget, the tears of my fear comes back to me. And as long ago alone they exhaust me, my soul has learned to survive, to sweep them away like dead leaves in another corner in my memory, so that with my eyes and with my savior's smile, I take refuge in a new dawn. End of poem.
Yeah, you use black so in such a strong, visceral and captivating way in this piece. I find that you denude yourself totally in here, you know, and you expose us to your deepest fears. What do you think, Cynthia?
Thank you.
I think this is, well, there was a time in my life when I was very depressed. And this poem would have described what I was feeling. My soul has learned to survive. And survival sometimes is all you can ask for. To sweep them away like dead leaves, that's the reminders. In another corner of my memory, so that with my eyes and with my savior smile, refuge in a new dawn. The savior smile, she can't see her smile, but it's the face she puts on for everybody else, the savior smile. I found this to me speaks to her very heart, to her existence. Blackness, darkness, not far from the threshold of my unconscious mind means it's always there, always lurking. Sometimes she probably feels like she's hanging on with her fingernails. And mm-hmm. I felt this poem as if I were feeling it all over again. This was very, very well done.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so you always amaze me with the way you can write, you know. And, you know, you can write it's always beautiful, but you can write, like, about love and about, you know, brightness, and you can also take us into the deepest emotions too. So just wow, you know, just an amazing writer.
Yeah.
And Pam, what did you think?
Thank you.
Well, this is absolutely a stunning brevity. It's powerful. It's emotive. I like that it reminds us that oftentimes that past, you know, the depression, the pain of the past, it is there lurking. As she says, life is a place not far from the threshold of my unconscious mind, and my soul has learned to survive, sweeping away like dead leaves in another corner of my memory. I like that this is a poem of healing, but it's not a poem that says healing is something that happens all at once and it's all rainbows and puppies and all that. Sometimes healing is having those moments where we dip our foot back into the darkness and realize that it's still there, but still choose to move forward. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you so much, Ben.
Oh, so true, Salwa. Just an amazing, amazing brevity here, there.
Thank you.
Okay, I have this next write-off by Murphy Arjun, and I'll go ahead and give this a read, I guess. Colors and thoughts. In a blue blanket, I tuck myself every day. Waters and sky sharing the other end. Hidden and unseen lives, I stay bonded in deep and unknown ways of existence. Purple circles on the butterfly wings make me dance and sing around to my feet, my hands, feet, and thoughts borrow their hooves, weaving many satin memories and songs. On green bed of grass, I quench my thirst like a water droplet. I sink into my heart. Shades of green, light and dark inside fill the hollow truths with their wise smiles. I look back through the glazed gray frame, dusting away little dust with my fingers. Bare cracks underneath look at me. Dark moments of light. And their scars. Yellow sunlight, I wish to embrace the most, like the sunflowers following the brightness, overcoming resistance from the root and stem to change, blossom, and shine with sunny thoughts. Saffron lakes of earth with its wild flora and fauna, an aura of life or a cocoon of love, sketching and stretching in the mind arising. Wrapped in its layers, I enjoy my freedom of life. Berries, sighs, and dressed up red, a friendship I relish the most. Red strawberries making my day worth the run. My words and hands race, often to hug that basket. The taste of ecstasy lightens up my little sorrows. Whispers I hear from walking along the seashore, wet and dry sand cushioning my walk and thoughts. Glazed pearls and pebbles they hold, same cheeky waves hurriedly carry them back into the sea. End poem. And, you know, I was so amazed by this, right? She just took every color I think I had, every prompt I had, and poured it into this piece. And, you know, what a rich, beautiful, emotive piece here. You know, it, with so many, much color, imagery, and wonderful metaphors throughout. Just so deep and so beautiful. Like, just done with Rio here. I just applaud this piece. It's really a, you know, a touching piece, you know, so well done. And Pam, what did you think of this, right?
Yeah, this is absolutely stunning. And another new name, I hope we get to see more poetry by Mithri. You know, I love that she took on all the colors and paid tribute to all the colors and how they all have an importance. And the general idea I get from this is that every color of our life, even the darkest moments, is something that helps form us into the person we are. And this is beautiful all the way through. But, you know, I especially like that stanza that says, saffron lace of earth with its wild flora and fauna. And what a beautiful tribute to Mother Nature and the freedom of life. So beautifully written and very well done.
I so agree. And Saul, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I really love this poem, and you read it so beautifully, Naomi. I love the idea from the title, Colors and Thoughts, and that's what she did. Like when we look at something, remind us of, like it bring memory or make us feel certain way, and colors like food or flavors or smelling something can do the same thing. And she really, this is what colors do, remind her of or awaken those emotions and those memories. Beautifully done. I really love it. From taste to happiness, like the yellow bring like the most bright to her life, and even black, like as Pam said earlier, black, we all have those moments, dark moments of life and the stars. Just really amazing. I love this idea of being, it's hard to do that. I don't know how she did it. Each one of them. Amazing.
Yeah, really went all out in this poem. Just an amazing, amazing role. And Cynthia, what are your impressions on the life?
I like how she, everyday things that we all are familiar with, and gave them life with the color. The blue blanket. When I was a little bitty girl, I had a blue blanket. Purple circles on the butterfly wings. The fake eyes on butterfly wings are often purple. On the green bed of grass, I quench my thirst. I picture dew on the grass. And I look back through the glazed gray frame, a picture frame that's like the ones in my house that are kind of dusty. And then yellow sunlight, the sunflowers overcoming resistance from the root and stem to turn. The one you pointed out, Saffron Lace of Earth, when I read that one, I pictured Queen Anne's lace, a whole bank of Queen Anne's lace growing wild along the railroad tracks, not far from where I live. And then this was my favorite one, berry-sized and dressed-up red, a friendship I relish the most. Looking beautiful, that friendship. I have some friends like that. This was beautiful. And whispers I hear from walking along the seashore. I don't know if you've ever put your ear down next to barnacles when the water is rushing across them, but they sing. Barnacles sing, and that made me think of them when I whispers I hear. I just thought this was a fabulous poem. And it was so relatable. Every single stanza brought something that I was familiar with to mind. So I really thought it was great.
Oh, yeah, such an inspiring, right? Great observation there, Sim. And Martha, your impression? Is Martha still with us, or did she have to go?
Yeah, Martha, let me check here. I think she dropped a while back, but I'm double checking. Yeah, she did drop.
So I have the next poem up. Pam, if you can give that a read by Victoria.
Absolutely. I would be happy to. And this is You Are My Sunshine by Victoria Frost, and it goes like this. There is a way the light catches your smile beneath the fluorescent light, beaming out your joy from the dimpled points of your cheek. It lights the hints of auburn in your hair ablaze, gleaming with your devious thought of how you've manipulated me into another bag of chips. I hear the bubble of a spring brook in your laugh when life has tickled your soul, and it cannot help but spill out, forcing you to double over, grinning at me through squinted eyes. The greatest moments of beauty, though, remain in the peaceful moments when sun-kissed skin plays with golden rays piercing through the evergreen canopy sky, watching how it traces your perfection. You, my love, are the embodiment of yellow, the certainty your words hold as you declare to the world that that is your favorite color, and it is as sure as yellow sun brings the horizon, and your beautifully beautiful gray eyes wait each morning to greet it. You are the warmth of the yellow sun on the cold winter day, promising joy. Yet you burn with the passion of yellow to leaving scorched flesh with your scalding gaze, the silent rolling boil of your displeasure. That I, yes, I, your mother, would dare to tell you no to another bag of chips. But even then, when the anger fades and the clouds of sadness drift across your face, there is still that golden lining to the promise of sun, waiting to burst out. Fill my day with dancing fairy lights, giggling brooks of eternal youth, and a quick temper that the world can never make enough sunblock for. And poem.
Oh, this is great.
You feel all the love she has for her child in her home. Yeah, it just fills all over. Just a wonderful, wonderful life, you know, so heartfelt. And what a dedication, you know, to someone else. It's where I think it's her son. Celtic, what were your impressions of your
family? I thought it was fabulous. At first I thought it was a lover writing to a lover until we got down to the little child. But there was one line in here that it made me literally, watching how it traces your perfection. Nobody's perfect except in their mother's eyes. You know, it's beautiful. And there's just so much about this. This mother is realistic. The world can never make enough sunblock for your quick temper. And she's being manipulated into another bag of chips. But yet she doesn't really care because this child is perfect to her. And it's just a wonderful poem. I loved it.
Yeah. And Solva?
Oh, I love all the comments and beautiful read. It's so fabulous. This is, I agree, a mother, not only tribute to her son, but to show also how children act. Like they do stuff that they forget quickly. They are really sunshine. They're not like us grown up. We can hold the, what is the word? I can't remember in English. That they just like forget and move on and they laugh like nothing happened. She brought this in here. I feel it really deeply. And then I agree with you, Cynthia. I really thought it was about lover. And since she said that, yes, I'm your mother, waiting to burst out, fill my day with dancing fairy lights, giggling books. Just the beauty of a child and her mother enjoying the child and enjoying the moment with her. I really love it. And how the sun was in the beginning, she enjoyed the sun, and how the sun catch the smile, talking about the sun in general, and the sun become her daughter. Her daughter becomes the sun, bright in her life. That's so beautiful. I feel the same about my children, so I hear her. You're right. Mother see perfection in their children when they love them.
Yeah. It's an awesome, awesome comment there, Solva. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first, Victoria actually doesn't have any sons. She has two daughters. So this is actually about her eldest daughter, who, in fact, I would like to mention my birthday twin. Because last week on her birthday, I told her that she had got to have an extra piece of cake because she had to have it for me. So, you know, it's always awesome to have a birthday twin that gives permission to have that extra piece of cake for them. But, I really enjoy this. This is absolutely a beautiful, heartfelt bite, wonderful use of imagery. But I like how she focuses on the whole idea of how much, how beautiful and golden and yellow this child is, and the idea that she is the embodiment of yellow. There's a festivity to her, a warmth to her, and yes, also a temper and an ability to, you know, talk mom into that next bag of chips. And I did like the humor that in the silent rolling boil of your displeasure that I, your mother, would dare to tell you no to a bag of chips. You know, this is just, as someone mentioned, it's the reality of motherhood where you love a child and you admire them for their strength, you know, and their attitude, but you also know to set limits. So beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah. So she just poured her heart into this. So our last,
truly.
I think this is going to be our last poem for the night. Cynthia, if you want to give this a read, by Paul Broke. Is Cynthia still
Hello?
With us, or Celtic Queen?
Oh,
sorry. Okay, yep, she is. Here she is.
Which poem is it?
It's Sand, Touching Sand, Reaching Out.
Oh, that already sounds great. Okay. I'm getting it up. Held so softly in this child's hand, a simple tool for shoveling sand, shell life has become a hassle, always carving some kind of castle, something this crustacean cannot understand. He once was provided scallop protection, getting shucked in some slop of a kitchen. His belly got steamed, slurped down with Jim Beam, not considered one of his finest collections. This scooping of sand's getting boring. The kid fell asleep and now she's snoring. Help me, Humphrey, free me from her hand. Quite frankly, Scallop, I wouldn't help a clam. Okay.
So delightful and so playful, you know. And it brought me back to so many amazing memories of growing up by the seashore. And I used to do this, you know, fish sand using shells.
Yeah.
Just such a delightful and playful poem. And Saul, well, what did you think of this, right?
A great read and such a great humor. Just incredible. Your poem really brought so many amazing poems. I just can't stop laughing. I'm not used to his I really enjoy the just the humor and how, like you said, like childhood would bring some really beautiful memory of side, scooping of head, getting boring, the kid fell asleep and now he's like, help me, I'm pretty. Just hilarious. Really amazing poem. I can't just get my laugh stop. I can't think.
And Cynthia, you read that so wonderfully. What did you, what are your impressions?
Thank you. I thought, I knew it was going to be fun from the beginning, and it was. I mean, it was great. Bored because he's always carving some kind of castle. I don't understand. I mean, it's obviously the crustacean talking, and it was just... his belly got steamed and slurped down with Jim Beam. Just the whole thing, the ideas that came up in this, not considered one of his finest selections. The humor and the sarcasm, that's where we got it. It's sarcasm throughout. It was great. Very well done. Very, very imaginative.
Yeah. Very clever, witty, eh?
Yes.
And Pam.
Help me, Humphrey.
Pam.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And,
clever, fun, witty. I really liked this all the way through. But I especially liked Shell Life Has Become a Hassle in that ending line. Quite frankly, Scallop, I wouldn't help a clam. So very well done.
Oh, amazing.
I'm going to steal the line, help me, Humphrey, I think. I like that line.
I was thinking about it. I seriously was thinking about it. <The same thing. laughs> Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, this was a great show, ladies, tonight, you know, well, ladies and Robbie. And I just want to thank you to, you know, Salwa and Cynthia for being here, and Martha and Robbie for stopping in, you know. And, yeah, just great poetry tonight. And we have a few carryovers, which I'll tell people, you know, when they're going to be on there. So I'm sorry if we didn't get to your poem tonight. They're just amazing poetry tonight. And thank you, Pam, for being an awesome, awesome teacher and co-host, holding my hand and guiding me. I couldn't do it without you. And do you have any announcements to make, Pam?
Well, there's no After Midnight show tonight. And, of course, just make sure everyone to keep an eye out on all the contests and topic boards put up by our late night poet hosts and hostesses. And great show, Naomi. Wonderful topic for the night. It really just is one of those topics that cheers people up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So wonderful, colorful poetry tonight. So thank you, ladies, again, and good night to everybody.
Good night.